That is, prayer is the kind of response to what God has done for us. As we hear and we receive what the Lord has done for us, prayer is a natural overflow of that. Prayer is, in that sense, inherently responsive. God takes the first step. And so, one of the ways to grow and to be changed and to be shaped in how we pray is to think of prayer as that responsive thing and to think, actually, how do the scriptures help me to pray? To pray shaped by something of what they have to say. So we're going to imagine that scenario again. I kind of alluded to this morning, that scenario where you've opened your Bible in the morning or whatever time of day, you've read a passage, and you think, right, now I'm supposed to turn to pray. I know that's what I do. I read my Bible and I pray, but nothing's coming. I've read the passage. I think I understand what it's saying, but as I turn to pray, nothing's coming. What am I meant to pray at this moment? If we've got no idea where to start, here's, I think, a helpful place to go. Across our kids' lots, we thought about these four different elements of prayer. We thought about adoration with the kids. We've been talking about those as wow prayers. We've talked about confession, prayers that say, Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done. Thought about prayers of thanksgiving, prayers that say, Lord, thank you so much for all you've done for me. And we thought about prayers of supplication, asking God, Lord, help me to do this. Lord, please equip me for this. Please change this in me, and so on and so forth. You'll notice there's an emboldening of the first letters. Some people will talk about this as kind of Acts prayer, very much not prayer from the book of Acts, but prayer with the mnemonic Acts, which might be a helpful memory aid. If you want a child-friendly memory aid, someone pointed this out to me. If you go, wow, I'm sorry, thank you, help with. So if you want a more simple one, if you think words like supplication are complicated, wow, I'm sorry, thank you, help. Just ways to help us kind of have something in our mind that can shape and give structure to our prayers. If it's helpful, we haven't unpacked this particularly with the kids, but it's easy for adoration and thanksgiving to kind of blur in together. That's okay, because it's not that we have to stick rigidly to each letter at a particular time. If you want a helpful just kind of distinction between the two, I think adoration is more, God, you're great. Thanksgiving is more, God, thank you for what you've done. So one's more kind of praising him for his character, one's more thanking him for his acts for us, but it's a slightly grey distinction around the edges. What I want you to do with that in mind, just for maybe 2 or 3 minutes, I'm going to basically walk through what a responsive prayer to Scripture shaped by those might look like. So if you want to turn with me to Leviticus 19, that's where we're going to start. Leviticus 19. I'm going to ask you to envisage the scenario where you've actually read the whole chapter, but I'm actually just going to read one verse. You've got to Leviticus 19 in your Bible reading. You've read the whole chapter. And as you've read the whole chapter, the particular verse that has stood out to you is verse 2. That's the scenario we're imagining. Let me read Leviticus 19, verse 2. And 1, because actually it only makes sense if you do 1 and 2 together, really. The Lord said to Moses, speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. I want you to imagine that that's the verse that stuck out for you. Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. And you turn to pray and you think, how can I pray responsively to what I've just read? And you look in that verse and you think, well, what is there to adore here? Well, look at the end of the verse. The Lord your God, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. And so we praise God for his holiness. We start by adoring him for his holiness. And then we move on naturally, and we confess the ways that we aren't holy. Be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. But doesn't that remind us that we're not perfectly holy? That there are ways in which we fall short of this standard. And so as we move through to confession, we confess that, Lord, you are holy, but I naturally am not. And we move on from there to thanksgiving, thanking God that it's not here in this verse, but the fulfillment of this thought is that Jesus has made us holy, that in Christ we are sanctified, that as God looks on us now, he sees us as holy, and so we say, thank you, God, that you have made me holy. And then we move on to supplication, and we pray, Lord, make me holy. This verse calls me to be holy. Lord, by your Spirit, help me to do that. In a sense, we're really only working off kind of less than 10 words of scripture, and yet with this structure in place, and sure, I've cherry-picked the verse slightly to make my point, but with this structure in place, suddenly there's loads of ways we can pray, and there would be more than that, but just a simple structure that helps us go, "This God, this is what you're like. I'm sorry I fall short. Thank you for what you've done. Please help me to live this way." And all of a sudden, in that moment where maybe you read Leviticus 19 and you've gone, this verse has struck me, but so often my prayers are just kind of, Lord, thank you that you're holy, please help me, amen. All of a sudden we just have a fuller way to express to the Lord who he is, what he's done for us, where we fall short, and the ways in which we need his help. And so you can unpack each of those. Let's imagine particularly that last one. You could, as you pray for the Lord's help in being holy, that doesn't just end there. You can get more specific. Lord, I know I'm facing this today. Please help me to respond in a holy way to that colleague I find really difficult. Or you open the church member's prayer diary if you use one of those, and you go, oh, I'm praying for this person today. I don't quite know what life looks like for them, but this passage applies to them as much as it does to me. Lord, help them to be holy in whatever they face. Or maybe you pray it corporately, because Moses here is speaking to the entire assembly of Israel. So God, help us as a church to be holy. In a simple structure, sometimes that does just help our prayers to flow. Say, not because this is the right way that we must shape all of our prayers, and if we don't, it's somehow inappropriate. And we know that, if nothing else, because the Lord's Prayer doesn't shape itself quite this way, although it has lots of these elements. My hope is that what we're going to do this afternoon is kind of take this principle and apply it into a few different spheres, and it will just help us to see that this is a way that can just help us to grow as we seek this year for the Lord to teach us to pray. What we're going to start by doing is having 2 minutes on our own with Leviticus 19 in front of us, with those on words up in front of us, to just, in our own hearts and minds, shaped by those things, pray to the Lord in the light of what we've seen. So a couple minutes to do that, just kind of on our own, and then we'll move on. Kind of turn your handouts over. We're going to take the Lord's Supper in a minute, but before we do, we're going to use one of the passages of where Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper. We're going to follow this model again. We're going to kind of lead into the Lord's Supper by praying together. And Martha's going to come and read to us from Luke chapter 22, which is on your handouts or in your Bibles. And then after that, we're going to go straight into groups. And again, look at this passage. What's something to adore, something to confess, something to thank God for, something to ask for, turn to pray, and then we'll sing before we take the Lord's Supper.
Verse 7-23. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare for it?" they asked. He replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters, and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, all furnished. Make preparations there." They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him." They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who